Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's getting closer. He's been trying to teach his disciples what it means when he gets there, with not so great results. And as he gets into the town of Jericho, there's another reminder of what the kingdom of God is about. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. You know, I discovered that, you know, I saw some pictures, and you'll see some, I guess, at the thing that, you know, it's been a while since I started here, over 11 years. Yeah, it seems like a lot longer and a lot shorter than it really does. I've been told that age brings wisdom, so I don't have wrinkles, I have wisecracks. You know, and just remember that, you know, sometimes saying goodbye doesn't fare well. But here's the thing. I'm not saying goodbye. And in faith, we always say farewell. Because we know fundamentally that the end is never the end. That's the point. There is always, always something. There is always new life. There is always something that happens. There is always something new. The whole scripture is full of it. From the prophets, "Behold, I do a new thing. I make a new thing." The whole psalm was about nothing more than, you're right now sad, but joy will come to you. You may be worried and wondering and thinking that things are at a loss, but I provide a bounty. I provide a harvest. I provide. This isn't about you. It's about God. But it's about a God who cares for you. That it isn't just the big things. Because let's face it, the big things are made up of little things. And we see that in today's lesson. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to do the big thing, the thing that most of us think is the thing of what Jesus did. He went and took the cross. He died upon it, taking all of our sins, and rose again in love and grace and new life and proclaimed it to the world. That's the thing, right? I know I haven't trained you to be Pentecostal, but am I right? Yes. We know that the Son of God came and conquered sin and death on the cross. That's the thing. And sometimes we can be so fixated on this victory, on this big thing, that we miss everything else that means. The crowd following Jesus knows he's going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where he needs to go. His disciples know that there's something supposed to happen there, but they're really, really, really hoping still, I think, that Jesus is going to show up. The religious leaders are going to be like, oh, thank you, the Son of God has arrived. The Romans will turn tail and run, and life would be wonderful. And I bet you that a lot of the people in the crowd that is with Jesus are people who have been healed and fed and everything else that has been done for them, and they're looking for more of the same. And they're following Jesus. And they're really hoping too, I think, that when he gets to Jerusalem, the Sadducees and the Pharisees are going to get kicked to the curb. And the Romans are going to run, and life will be awesome. And in the midst of on the way, there is a blind beggar on the side of the road who calls out for mercy. And the people around Jesus tell him to shut up. Isn't it amazing? Because chances are, each and every one of them cried out for help in one way or another. I'm hungry. I'm sick. I have a demon. I'm demon possessed. Or a loved one was in any of those circumstances, and Jesus responded and acted. And now, in the ultimate act of, well, I got mine. Don't disturb him. He's got more important things to do. Which they probably saw when the disciples were trying to tell the children to go away. Because Jesus has more important people to deal with than children. And Jesus, even with his eyes fixed on Jerusalem, even knowing what was coming, even knowing what he had to do, still heard and stopped. Noticed, he didn't go over to the man. He stopped, stood still, and told those around him, go get him. The very same people who were telling him to sit down and shut up. He's going, uh-uh. You go get him. Which is no different than the time when they were surrounded by the great crowd, of which probably some of them were there, and they were a part of it, when the disciples told Jesus to send the crowd away so they can go get food. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, you give them something to eat. How soon we can forget that in our need, we cry out. And when we're taken care of, sometimes our ability to listen goes away. Christ hears, and Christ sends. Those disciples that he sent out in pairs, who did amazing things, and then came back and went, well, yeah, we casted out demons, we did all this stuff, but how are we going to feed all these people? And here we are at this point in this place, and we might be fixated on big things. You might be thinking about all that happens and all that is implied by the fact that there's a farewell and Godspeed. That the focus of what we're doing today is about what's after or what is to come. And our thoughts are then consumed by, now what? Trust me, I'm panicky enough about now what for me. You're covered. Everyone take a deep breath. You're all doing this. You're all in this together. Lean on each other. You've got this. Because if nothing else, remember the lesson of the disciples who were taught repeatedly, which I hoped that I did, about how God loves you, how grace is there, how you have been blessed, how you have been gifted, how everything is possible, because with God, all things are possible. And so, let me remind you of a few things. Things that I did repeatedly to try to drive a point home. So, we'll start with this one. Put your hand on your head. Repeat after me. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. On this day of Reformation, when we remember God's grace, we remember the fact that God said to you, here is the Holy Spirit. I claim you. You are my child. And that's all that matters. Yes, you can. Because you don't do it alone. And you never do it alone. You can tackle the big things because you're tackling the little things because you're going together. That you have what you need. Not because you acquired it or attained it or learned it, but because God said, you're mine. And so you can listen to the cries of the people around you. You can respond. You can reach out of your generosity. You can advocate. You can show compassion. You can show encouragement. You could do all of those things that show grace because God has already said, you have grace. Because I give it to you. Because you're mine. And you keep moving forward. You keep moving forward to Jerusalem. You keep moving forward to the cross. You keep moving forward to the fact that God is ever ahead of you. And all of those times when you go, well, I just remember Peter looking at Jesus going, nope, that's not going to happen. And Jesus turned around and said, Satan, get behind me. And called us to take up a cross and follow. We go into a future following the Lord who prepares it. That's the gift of grace. And that's why we can say, like I did every Sunday, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't matter what the day brings. It doesn't matter what might happen. Because the Lord is in it. The Lord is with you. Why? You've been sealed. You've been claimed. You've been marked. God is with you. Emmanuel. Remember that at Christmas when I don't get to play with you. Emmanuel, God with us. That we have all of these gifts and these capabilities. One of the things I learned, and it's an important one for us today as we talk about, you know, giving and everything else like that as well, is when I came 11 years ago, the most common phrase I heard in counsel and amongst people is, well, I don't know. Can we do this? Here's the question for you. It's not can you, it's will you? Will you? Your faith has made you well. You will. You can walk and follow in confidence, seeing the Lord ahead of you, going to this cross for you and for this world that we're still so much a part of. And he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The energy is in love. The gift of new life is in love. The gift of hope is in love. that future with hope is a future that is paved with love. That is what we can go on and go forward. Because again, I do not say goodbye, I say farewell. As I go into and I will see you again in so many different ways, partially from the role and mostly because in faith, I know that there is no such thing as the end. There's a new beginning, and it comes in love. Which is why I say all the time, and I repeat once more today, remember, God loves you, and so do I. Amen.